Now, next on the line, I have the great pleasure indeed of welcoming, and normally she's here in studio with me, but today the format has changed and Sally is on holidays, but agreed to give me an interview on air to do with psychotherapy and psychology, which is her area of expertise. So you're very welcome to the show, Sally O'Reilly.
Thanks, Rosario. This is a bit strange not being there next to you. It's weird.
Yes, and it does make a difference when somebody's in the studio, isn't it? Because you can have that all that eye contact or whatever. It can be a bit different when you're interviewing somebody over the phone. You don't have those cues.
We'll give it a go this once.
We'll give it a go. We'll give it a go, Sally. So this week we decided we would discuss New Year's resolutions. Now, we might be taking opposite views on this, but nevertheless, I'm interested to hear what you have to think about them, Sally.
Grand. Well, I suspect it won't be our first or last time having opposite views on something, so that's okay.
We always agree to differ anyway.
I suppose my view is pretty staunch in that I'm absolutely anti-resolutions, but I have really good reasons.
Okay, go ahead.
So my reason is that a third of resolutions don't even make it past the first month, and 80% of them don't make it past the first 5 months.
Right.
So, you know, I always think, right, if that's the case, then what happens when you break a resolution? You feel, oh no, I failed at this. Oh, that's so disappointing. Oh, I'm so useless. And it's just, there's no feel-good factor to be had there. And for that reason, I think, you know, it's unrealistic to make a New Year's resolution unless it's something that you intend to do anyway, or if it's something really simple. It's the simple ones, the ones rooted in self-awareness and self-kindness, seem to be the ones that make it past the June post.
Right, the June post.
So they're the ones, I mean, I'm all for doing things. I suppose here's my bottom line, right? Every time I see a New Year's Eve meme and it says New Year, New You, it sends me into this sort of orbit of irritation. And I think, oh no, why can't we just say, New Year, be you? Like, if you're truly and authentically you, then you have a sincere chance of making the changes that you want to see in your life.
Yes.
And by that, so I mean things like being your advocate, saying yes to changing some behaviours, but only behaviours that are actually bad for you. So that might mean dropping being dramatic, or dropping being passive-aggressive, or dropping not telling yourself the truth, not being authentic. And it might mean dropping some people, making different choices around people or how you spend your free time. And most of the resolutions that we make are, the intent is to feel better and to feel more healthy. But I think if we just roll it back a little bit and say, look, just be your own advocate, just be you. So not New Year, just our new you rather, but just really be you. And if we live with that intent, everything else will fall into place better.
Well, on that happy note, Sally, I have made a number of resolutions for this year. And actually, for a change, they're happening. I don't know. Is it not a good thing to have a marker? You know, like a new year, which is a marker. We're into 2020 now. It's a new decade, even. It's a good motivation to, as you said, like change a bad habit, like smoking for people who are into smoking, or drinking too much, or. For me, it's getting back into fitness, you know, a bit more fitness and a little bit less lounging around and kind of filling the time more productively. What do you think?
I think you're right, but I think the things we're saying aren't too different from each other. I suppose what I'm saying is, if we look at the motivation behind making a New Year's resolution. So if you say to someone, look, I'm going to eat more healthy, for example.
Yeah.
So a new habit takes at least 66 days to form. So there's your first problem right there, is that it's hard to do things differently in a dramatic way on the 1st of January. But if you are to say to yourself, look, this year, using your marker, this year, I would prefer to treat myself better. and to be truly and authentic me. Like, that means doing, looking after myself as a person, after my body, looking after my human self, well, then you're going to eat better. It's just, you know what I mean? It's going to happen. If you start by saying, I'm going to treat myself with more respect and, you know, okay, love myself more, then you're going to eat better. You're going to exercise more. But if you say to yourself, I have to eat better.
Okay, Sally, let me rephrase the question. So what is behind motivation? Like, what are the what drives motivation, or what causes motivation, or how some people achieve their goals because they're motivated or highly motivated. But I'm interested in knowing your perspective as a psychologist and a psychotherapist. What lies behind motivation? How can people become motivated to do things? Because it's all very well having these ambitions, but you need drive. You need, you know, there are other attributes. I often say, as a teacher, we say intellect. Intellect is useless on its own. You need people who are focused and can concentrate and who apply themselves. And, you know, so there's a whole raft of, and often these attributes are got through sport or through other activities. You know, they're not necessarily academic attributes. They come from other walks of life. But the point is, so going back to motivation, what motivates people?
A realistic goal, I think.
Okay.
If you have in your mind, look, I can actually achieve this, and this is realistic, this is doable. So that's a great question. Like, if we go to the healthy eating thing, that could mean anything. What does that exactly mean, and how doable is it? You know, do I have the time to do this? What are healthy things that I would actually enjoy eating? There has to be a realistic goal, there has to be enjoyment, and there has to be a reward. So without those ingredients, there will be no motivation. It will only last a couple of weeks. And that's exactly why people make New Year's resolutions that fail after a month.
Hmm. Maybe it goes back to that old thing about goals being very specific. You know, the SMART analogy. What is it? Specific, M for motivational, perhaps. Mm. A for, I don't know what the other things stand for. I forget. It's
they're realistic and there's time to do them. It's that.
Time to do them, yeah. And
yeah,
maybe have benchmarks along the way. So not just losing weight, but lose a pound a week or a half a pound a week or something kind of realistic and doable.
Yeah, but only if it's healthy. You know, again, that's the bit about being kind to you, which is going back to why things fail.
Yeah.
So if you don't need to lose weight for an actual proper reason, like a health reason, if you just think, oh, I'd like to be thinner and then I'll be happy, that will fail.
Mm-hmm.
Without a doubt, that will fail. But if you're actually overweight and you want to feel better in your skin and feel happier and feel more fit and believe that you're increasing your longevity, that could work. But then you need to think about things like, well, what am I going to do? What's realistic? When will I do it? And plan it. But again, it's about being an advocate for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If your New Year's resolution is based in self-advocacy and self-love, it will probably work. But if it's based in something more kind of cruel or restrictive or self-image based that's influenced by other people or what other people think you should do or what you think other people should do, then it will fail.
Okay.
It's now, most likely fail.
Now, obviously, as you said, there has to be a fun element. Recently, I took up tennis with a group of other people. And it so happens that we have probably the best coach in the world coaching us, a man who might be well known in the East Cork area, Michael Russell. And he definitely gets people motivated and out there and enjoying it and great fun. So I only go once a week, so I'm not like a serious tennis player or anything, but I certainly am highly motivated to go to this particular class just because of the fun element.
So that's your motivation. It's fun. And for most people...
And exercise. You know, obviously the benefits then are not just the fun. The fun is the bonus. The endorphins is another bonus. But also the fact that you're exercising without even realizing it or even enjoying it.
And if you didn't have the enjoyment and the fun element to exercise, then you give it up.
Hmm.
So people pick, that's why I mean, you know, think about, there has to be, those three ingredients have to be there. So if you say to yourself, I'm going to join a gym now and it's going to be great, I'm going to go 3 times, 4 times a week. But that won't work unless you actually like being in a gym.
Mm-hmm. So, Sally, what were the three things then that you were saying you'd advise? Just remind me and remind our listeners, for anybody making New Year's resolutions, which I know you don't approve of, but if they were to make them, then what helps a person stay the course and stick with them? If it's giving up smoking, for instance, that's a very important one for people in terms of their health and longevity. They have more money and there's a lot of side benefits, but...
Yeah, well, the smoking is a great one. So what you need to do is make sure that you have a realistic during goal, you have a realistic end goal, mm-hmm. that there is fun involved and reward. So it's the fun and the reward and the having, I guess, they're also fun and reward to look forward to. That's the goal.
Right.
There's a positive change. But it has to be rooted in a sense of self-worth for it to succeed,
mm-hmm.
because otherwise, if you have your little slips, you beat yourself up or you're bored and then you get resentful. So this awful spiral of negativity can happen if we don't put thought and compassion into these New Year's resolutions. And I know I'm really repeating myself, but the fact that 80% of New Year's resolutions fail is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to think about why. And I'm not a lone wolf with this one. It seems, because people have researched this, it seems that this is why, that these elements are missing and that the resolutions we make tend not to be based in actual self-love.
Mm. So, Sally, on that happy note, have you made any resolutions?
Well, I'm going to take my own advice, and it's a bit about being me as often as I possibly can. I'm pretty good at it anyway, but I do still slip sometimes. So it's just to continue encouraging myself to use my voice, you know, to be authentic, to have as much fun as I can, to be creative, to allow myself to do these things that I enjoy.
Mm-hmm. And on that note, you are creative in terms of your Instagram and also your, which I enjoy looking at your photographs of Gary Vaughan, Shannon Gary and all that area, but also your writing in your East Cork Journal column. How is that going? And are you going to keep that up?
Well, I think I probably will keep it up for now. I am enjoying that. Now, what you might get a kick out of, I don't know if you saw this, but on the writing thing, I did a piece for the East Cork Biodiversity Group, which is actually one of the things I decided to do last year, if mm-hmm. we call that a resolution, is getting more involved in conservation work
mm-hmm.
and doing work with the Clean Coast Group and the Biodiversity Group. So this year, one of the things that we did, I can't take full credit here by any means, is we built a pond in the garden.
Oh, very, very good, yes.
So, Crunchius is the guy who heads up the East Cork Biodiversity Group. So he asked me if I'd write a little piece on that and and all the mistakes that we made, which there were very, very many. So if you want to read that, Rosari, that is on the ourbiodiversity.org website. So it's a little story about how not to build a pond.
Okay, excellent. Very good. Well, I'm all into biodiversity and sustainability. This weather, I think we have no choice but to change our behaviour for the new year and for the new decade if this planet is to survive.
Well, I agree. And again, on that, it's like, yes, but let's not feel guilty and terrible about it. Let's see if there's something we can do about it that we might enjoy. And I'm blessed that I had a garden where I could actually do something that I really get a kick out of. And I get a kick out of it every day looking at the pond and all the little creatures. But there's something, we can all do something, even if it's one thing. But, you know, make sure it's something that you can enjoy.
Yes, come back to your original point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, very good.
We can do it with more fun.
Yes, and we're more likely to continue doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Sally, thank you so much. And thank you for taking the call in the middle of your festive season vacation.
Not at all. You're very welcome. Strange as it was, I'll see you in person the next time.
You will indeed. And best of luck for 2020. And if you do have any resolutions, I hope you stick to them. And if you don't, enjoy them anyway. All right. Thanks so much, Sally, for all your advice and sharing your expertise with us. Okay. And there you were listening to Sally O'Reilly, who's psychotherapist, psychologist in the East Cork area.